I had not sent a prophet to Israel for 300 years before my son was born in the earth. They heard no voice of God. They only had the letter of the law. They only had their hopes and their aspirations. Then I sent John, the forerunner of my son. And he brought the word, the voice of my spirit back in the earth again. And soon thereafter, my son made his pronouncement. And I began to display myself through my son, through my flesh and blood. I began to display who I was again to the world, that they would see who I was and understand my grace and my power. So it is again this day, declares God. I'm sending my voice into the earth through many prophets, through many individuals, through many people. And many have heard their voice, and many have heard my spirit, and their hearts have been turned back to me, says God. And now you are approaching that stage when again I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. You are approaching that day when again my voice will be heard in all the earth. And there will be those who will tremble before my voice. There will be those who will hide from fear. And there will be those who will cry out, "My God, my God." And I shall send my comfort to those who cry out to me. And I will send my power against those who have sought my destruction. For many have declared that I am dead, says God, but I am very much alive. And I will show myself strong in these days, says God, when all the earth shall again tremble before my voice, and they shall know that I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, that I am the God of David, who prophesied his Messiah would come through his loins. I will again display myself with power that the world will not understand, but they will know it is supernatural. And they will know that it is me, declares God. For I am revealing their hearts and their intents, but I am revealing my love and my power to overcome even their evil. For where sin has abounded, do I not say that my grace abounds much more? That which has rebuked me and thrown me away, oh, my grace is stronger than their hate. My love is stronger than what they have. For I will again show myself strong, and I will again show myself among my people. And they will say, "This is the day of the Lord." Praise you, God. Kola bahasara. Dora bahasara bahasara. Tune yourself to my voice. Tune yourself that you would know me when I speak. For I've said it is the day of separation. It is the day where I will call those who will hear my voice, and those who don't hear will begin to fall. And it will become apparent that their deeds, that their works of the flesh cannot save them, but it is those who will hear my voice calling to them, says the Lord. For I'm calling. I'm calling in every nation. I'm calling in every tongue. I'm calling in every culture. I'm calling those who would hear my voice. And they are coming to me by the millions, declares God. For my revival is just now beginning. It's just now beginning to really become evident. That's why the devil's fighting so hard. That's why he's fighting so hard in you, that you would not break free from him. But you are free from him. For I have made you free. For all those who call on my name, says God, I've made them free from sin and death and hell and the grave. I've made you free. So rejoice, rejoice, rejoice before me. For this is the day of your salvation. This is the day of your coming out. This is the day of the shining, declares God. And since we're on limited time, I'm going to ask our offering attendants to come back up real quick. I've got some passouts for you. Again, we passed this out last week, but if you weren't here or you don't have one or you need a new one, this is a word of the Lord that we are looking at in today's sermon. And I want you to be able to have that, to look at it. Okay. Are we ready? Repeat with me our favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. You know, we've been talking in the last few weeks, and hopefully today's the last week of this series. We've been talking about deep calling to deep. And that's one of the words that the Lord spoke to us at the first of the year. He says, deep calls unto deep. You cannot know me apart from me, says the Lord. And we've been talking about the deep calling to deep, and we've looked at it from a lot of different directions and angles. But when you think about our verse out of 2 Corinthians 2:14, who always leads us in triumph. Did you realize that God leads you in triumph over the devil and over the world? Every time. Every time. All the time. If we follow God, he leads us into triumph. And every time I begin to think about this, and I keep saying this to you, I could just focus on this verse and just preach it because it is so full of good things. First of all, in order for God to lead us, it means we're following. You got to follow. If Jesus is one of my, I tell you all the time, you would not like Jesus as a pastor. You really would not like him as a pastor because he said, follow me, I'm going over here, and he left. Pastors tend to say, I'd like to go over here. Will you follow me, please? See, because there's strength in numbers. But Jesus knew there was strength in God. And so he could say, I'm going over here, you follow me. And he left. And if you wanted to participate in what God was doing, you had to follow him. And in order to follow him, you had to trust that Jesus, one, knew where he was going, and two, that he would not lead you into falsehood or into error or into trouble. See, he always leads you where?
Triumph.
He won't lead you to sin. And you know, you've heard people say, well, God made me sin. God made me do. No, God didn't make you do it. Why? Because there's no sin in God. God cannot lead you into anything that he doesn't have. He is holy. He is pure. He is righteous. So God's going to lead you into himself if you will follow him. But whether you follow him or not, God's still who he is. And we have the choice, the option, of whether we are going to follow God and participate in what God is doing or whether we're not. And it really comes down to being that simple. Lord, I give you my life. Jesus says, follow me. Come after me. And it's up to us to obey him. Now, several principles that we've learned over the last several weeks. Number one, God knows our heart. He knows everything going on. David spoke to his soul in Psalm 42. He says, trust or hope in God. That you've got to talk to your soul. And we've talked about this often. You've got to talk to yourself, trust in God, hope in God. When everything's going wrong, you've got to tell your soul, don't look at the situation, don't look at the circumstances. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will always lead us in triumph. Number three, you've got to understand God is for us. If you don't believe God is for you, then you're always waiting for God to pound you. Always waiting for God to be upset with you. Listen, if God was upset with you, now there's things we do that God doesn't approve of, but if God was really as upset with us as we thought he was, we'd be crispy critters. I mean, you'd be done. Turned over, baked again, and thrown in the trash can because you'd be burned. See, we need to understand, Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost, not seek to come and destroy them and punish the lost. Say, but isn't Jesus judge? Yes, he's judge, but we are now in the age of mercy. We are now in the age of His grace, and God is still calling us, come unto me, come unto me. And if we come unto Him, we don't have to worry about judgment. We don't have to worry about those things because we have already been judged and found free because of what Jesus Christ has done. Amen? Number four, the Spirit of God helps us. That's in Romans 8:26. Number four, five, God's wisdom, His Spirit, is calling out to us. That's in Proverbs 8:1. His Spirit is calling out. Now go to Ephesians 3:19. I'll start out with this verse to get us rolling and back into the flow again this morning. But Ephesians 3:19, oh, you can't just read that. Let's go up to 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, He would grant us, He gives to us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. In other words, you can't study this and get to the bottom of it. You can't write books on this and figure it all out. This is something that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all, say all the fullness, say fullness, of God. Now, religion doesn't teach that. You can know God a little bit. Paul says, his prayer for you and for me is that we would know the love of God, the width, the height, the length, the depth of God, that we would be rooted in His love for us, not our love for Him, but rooted in His love for us, that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints the love and the power of God. And this is the final outcome of this, that us would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, what part of God does that leave out? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, boy, I can't get my head around that. I know. That's why it's beyond knowledge. These are things you have got to experience, and these are things that God wants you to experience. Did you realize that Christianity is an experiential religion? There's a lot of religions out there. If you learn this and you learn this and you study and you do all these things and it's like then you can become a great master. But it's all based on human wisdom and human knowledge. But you don't experience anything. You just accumulate a lot of knowledge. And for years, we've thought that that's what Christianity was, that we could just have knowledge of God. And so we've got books on doctrine and all these things about this is how to know God and all that. How do you know God? You talk to Him. Years ago, when the Lord brought me back, and I was reading John chapter 10, and I'm reading the part where Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." And when I was in college, I knew God. I talked with Him on a regular basis, but I'd gotten away from it. He said, "My sheep know my voice." And I asked God, I'm in the ministry. I'm in my second church in the ministry. And I was learning about God. I was experiencing some things about Him. But I finally asked God a serious question. Have you ever gotten to that point? It got that serious, that bad, you had to ask God a serious question. And I wasn't expecting an answer. Have you ever asked God questions and not expect an answer? I asked God, "How do we hear your voice?" He said, "I talk to you." I said, "You talk to us?" He says, "Yeah, do you remember your time in college?" And revelation hit me. That was you? See, I found out something. God's talking to you all the time. All the time. But you don't recognize His voice. Oh, that didn't get too many amens on that. See, I'm amazed. I like Chinese food. And every time I call the Chinese restaurant in town and order takeout, she always knows who I am. And the moment I say, hi, luncheon special, you want Hunan chicken? Yes. Okay, 10 minutes. She knows what I'm going to order. And one time I called up and I ordered something different. She goes, really? I shocked her. She just couldn't believe that I'm getting something different than Hunan chicken. I like Hunan chicken. I like the spices in it. But she knew my voice. Now, we don't spend a lot of time together. I've only talked to her on the phone and in the restaurant. But she has learned my voice. When we used to be on the radio, I remember one time we were up in a restaurant in Somerset, and they had not charged us enough on the bill. And so when we went to pay, I said, I think we owe you more money. She said, well, let me check with your waitress. And she went to the waitress and talked with the waitress, and she was gone for a few minutes, and she came back, and she's, you're right, you do owe us more money. And she was making it all up, and she says, are you on the radio? I'm going, yeah. Are you on at noon? I said, yeah. Is your name Gordon Brubaker? I said, yeah. I'm thinking, who is this person? She says, we listen to you every day at noon in the kitchen. All the staff came in for a three-minute broadcast. All the staff, the waitresses, everybody came in to listen to the radio at noon to hear me. I'm thinking, this is creepy. I mean, I have a three-minute program on the radio and people recognize my voice. See, the problem, the reason you don't know that God's speaking to you, you don't know his voice. And so God's speaking to you all the time, but until you learn his voice, you don't know it's God. Hello. We were driving in Ohio one time and we were coming up to an intersection where it's a car going maybe about 45 and the speed limit was 50. I'm doing 55, and I know you guys don't do that, but I have to confess. And I was coming up to the car, and it was at an intersection, and the Spirit just said, pass them. Said, you're not supposed to pass at an intersection. Besides, I knew Debbie would yell at me if I passed at an intersection. And God said again, he said, pass. And so I pulled out, and Debbie says, what are you doing? And I passed the car. I looked in my rearview mirror as I was pulling back in. When that car got to that intersection, which was a stop, we had a through road, and there was a stop sign coming the other way. There was a car that was coming through, didn't stop, hit the tail end of that car. Nobody was hurt, but it spun the two cars around. If I had not heard the voice of God, Debbie and I could have been possibly killed, if not at least severely injured in that accident. But because I heard the voice of God. And it wasn't this band of angels. It wasn't this music up in heaven. The radio station didn't change, you know, like it does in the Transformers. God just spoke to me. Pass. And I listened. Now, there was another time when I totaled the car. We're driving in Cumberland. I don't think location has anything to do with it, but we're driving in Cumberland. It's a little bit rainy, but not very much. And I'm three lanes. There's one car in front of me. And all of a sudden, the car in front spun out. And I couldn't pull to one side or the other. If I could have gone one way or the other, I would have missed the car entirely. And they just spun out, and we hit them. Totaled our car. We had a big car. It was a solidly built Buick, and not a real big car, but it was a solidly built Buick. And she had this cheap little thing. She got hers repaired. Ours was totaled. We had to buy a old Chrysler K car to make up for it. It's like, boy, did that cost. And I asked God afterwards, how come I didn't hear your voice? How come you didn't speak to me and tell me to just, all you had to say is pull over a lane. I mean, just a little thought. If I would have just had pulled over a lane 5 seconds before she spun out, I would have totally missed the car. We would have been fine. She would have been fine. I said, what? Why didn't I hear your voice? And it was about a month later, I was coming back to the house. We'd bought the K car. And coming back to the house, and it hit me. It just flooded in me. The reason I didn't hear God is I had been confessing we don't need two cars. I was complaining about having to pay insurance on two cars when we didn't use the second car all that much. Well, guess which car was totaled? The good one. So we lost the good car because I didn't hear the voice of God, because I'd been saying we only need one car. We really don't need two cars. Now, what was I doing? I was cursing the blessing that God had given to me. And God told me, he says, you limited my angels. He says, because you had been confessing you only needed one car, my angels couldn't even warn you to save the car that you had. Now, we weren't injured, we weren't hurt at all, but we lost the car. See, this is why it's important to hear the voice of God. And when you think about this verse, that you would maybe be filled with all the fullness of God that said, well, I just can't get wrap my head around that. I know you can't, because this is something you've got to experience, like learning the voice of God. You've got to experience this. You've got to immerse yourself in God to know his voice. This is why, and go to the word of the Lord that we passed out. This is why it says at the beginning, deep calls unto deep. You cannot know me apart from me, says the Lord. You've heard things. You've seen things. And I believe those are things in the world. We've heard the things of the world. We've seen the things of the world. But he says, but my deep is calling to your deep. My spirit is calling to your spirit, saying, come unto me, come unto me. Go where there is a lack of understanding, of intellectual understanding, and come unto me and yield yourself wholeheartedly. There are areas in our walk with God that you can't explain why you're doing what you're doing, but you know God has called you to do it. And sometimes you've got to go to areas where you can't explain why you just, all you can say is, I just felt like this is where the Lord would have me. When we came here, this is a good example. When we came here in 81, we drove through the community and we said, there's no way. Absolutely no way are we coming to here. This is not our culture. It's not the types of houses. Everything is so different from where we came from, because we came from a really affluent farming hick community. Just normal. I mean, not fancy, not wealthy or anything like that. But it's like the cornerstone at the major stores at the mall were Penny's and at the time Kmart. So those were, nobody I knew shopped at Penny's. That was a low-end store from where we came from. You know, you just didn't, and this was a mall anchor store? We're not coming here. We came, we had interviewed with the church, and we had already made up our decision, we're not coming, we'll go through the interview, we'll be real nice, and we'll say, we're not coming. After the interview, they talked to us, said, we're coming. Why? God said, this is where I've called you. Now, we had interviewed at three other churches and been accepted by huge majorities at three other churches, and we weren't called. God didn't tell us to go there. We felt very uncomfortable about all three congregations, and they were really nice churches. But God called us here, and here we are. And God has blessed us with you. He has blessed us spiritually, physically, financially. God has blessed us so much because we heard the voice of God. And we're here. Hallelujah. I hope you can say hallelujah too, but I say hallelujah. I like this place. I've fallen in love with this place. Amen. But he says, you've got to get past your intellectual understanding and come unto God and yield yourself wholeheartedly. For when, listen, he goes on to say, for when you give of yourself, that's when I will manifest. When you come through the barriers, when you come through the restrictions, when you come through all those I can't, you will come to the I will. For not only am I able, I am willing, declares the Lord. That's an awesome thing. Now, let me, this is where we ended up last week. I got 15 minutes to finish what I didn't get to last week. Have you ever wondered if there were more to your life? Have you ever wondered if there was more to Christianity than what you've experienced up to this point? Now, don't be stunned if, you know, we're not asking you to raise your hand, but this is a common question. Lord, is there more? Am I missing something? Have I just lost something? Well, even this idea is an example of deep calling to deep. And when you raise this question about yourself, your deep is calling to the deep of the Lord. Your heart says and is witnessing to you, there's something more than what I have experienced with God up to this point. And it doesn't matter how far you are. It doesn't matter how many gifts you operate in. It doesn't matter how large your ministry is. But there's this deep in us that wherever you are, God has more for you than what you're currently experiencing. That's your deep. But see, you can only get God's answer if you will listen to his deep cry back to you. That's why we've talked about his spirit is on the street corners calling. Calling. Billy Graham said this years ago. He said, if you don't know what to preach on Sunday, look at the Sunday morning newspaper. There's all kinds of things to preach because the Sunday paper, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday papers are full of the sin of the world and of lost people. He says, if you can't find a message in that, you're hurting. Because God came to redeem us from all these things. Amen? He came to help us out of these things, not to just judge, say, well, boy, you guys are really in bad shape. I'm leaving because there's nothing I can do. Can you feature Jesus saying that? Even to the Pharisees, he didn't say, there's nothing I can do to help you guys. He said, if you would turn, if you would repent, if you would acknowledge God, you can be born again too. Even the worst of sinners, we believe, can be born again. We believe more for them than we believe for ourselves. Hello, my name is Gordon Brubaker, and I am your friend. I'm here to help you. But it's always so much, we can believe for anything for anybody else. And when it comes to us, we doubt God. But we don't for them. And we tell them, you just need to have faith. You just need to have faith in your situation. But it's more than just faith. You've got to have faith in God. You've got to know he's your provider. You've got to know God is your covering. You've got to know the deep of God and that his desire is to bless you beyond what you can think or ask or imagine. Because only that kind of a God can get you out of your spot. Only that kind of a God can change your circumstances. We found out in Psalm 42, even in our distress, God's deep calls to our deep. Listen, the idea of our deep, of our hurt calling out to God, in the natural, it will lead you to depression. But if you respond correctly, you can find God at work in your life. See, in the natural, there's no way out. When you begin to think, I'm at my wit's end. But that's when God met us, isn't it? When you got born again, some people I know of, they had a gun to their head, ready to pull the trigger. And all of a sudden, God showed up on the scene. They were at the end of their rope, and they were willing to grab hold of any rope that hung there, and God dropped his rope and rescued them. I think about Jeremiah when I think about ropes. Jeremiah prophesied and they threw him into a pit. They left him there to starve. Jeremiah's down there. He raises his fist at God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been upset with God? He raises his fist at God and said, God, you never told me about this. God says, no, I didn't. I just asked you to obey me. Says, and you did. I didn't promise you anything. I just said, obey me. And Jeremiah said, yeah, I'm glad I obeyed you. Next day, the king's servant came by at the risk of his own life and lowered a rope and pulled Jeremiah out and hid Jeremiah till the king repented and says, I need to talk to Jerry again. I need his counsel. And then Jerry came back to the king and said, what do you want? He says, what's God saying? Same thing he said before, repent. Because if you don't repent, you're going to be taken to Babylon. You're going to be carried away. But see, God rescued him, and he wasn't looking to be rescued. He just, I'm content to obey God. You know, we need to learn how to be content to hear and obey and to do what God's told us to do. The reward is up to God. If you're only doing it because of the reward, then if the reward doesn't show up at your schedule, you will walk away from God, and you will curse him and blame him for your problem of a failure to commit. Good preaching. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the word of the Lord. He says, and there's a point to all this. We're not just reviewing the word of the Lord, but I want you to hear some things. He says, for I have sent my son to you, for only this, for only that, for only a few things trickled out here and there. No, I sent my son to bring in the kingdom of God into the realm of this natural world. For the kingdom of God is manifesting all around us. And there are those who call out to my deep out of their deep, and they will know who I am. There are those in foreign lands who are calling out to my deep, and I've answered them, declares the Lord, and I have shown them things, and they have a depth of wisdom and understanding so that much that so much of the world does not have. Now, he's getting ready to make a contrast. There's those who have called to God out of their deep, out of their hurt, out of their fear, out of their worry. And God says, I've heard them, and they are growing in a wisdom that others don't have. Now, let's look at the others. He says, this is the understanding that so much of the world does not have because you seek, meaning the world, to read of me. See, we think if we accumulate enough knowledge, God will do whatever we want him to do. If we just have enough wisdom, we can manipulate God. Now, I know nobody here has ever tried to do that. But there's a lot of people, Lord, if I go to church this Sunday, you'll bless me, right? We try to make deals with God. Lord, I'll give my life to you if you save my child. And God saves the child. And you say, that's over. And you go back to living like you did before. And there's been no change. He says, and yet Jesus even told the Pharisees, the things that you study, the things that you revere, they speak of me, and yet they didn't know Jesus. They didn't recognize my son because they spent all their life in a book, and they never let the book come alive in them. That's why my apostle John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you read about Jesus, my son, oh, you're reading about me, says the Father. You're reading about me, who begat out of himself to himself, that you might be born again, that you might come into this kingdom place that you heard about, but I didn't create, now listen, but I didn't create my kingdom for you to hear about. I created it for you to live in. Isn't that an awesome thing? Now remember, Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you read about me every Sabbath, you read the prophets what they say about me, and here I am, and you don't believe the prophets. You don't believe the things that they said, but I'm doing them. I'm doing those things, and you have chosen to not believe. The problem, they didn't believe the word. The problem, they didn't believe the prophets. The problem was, we have position, and we have knowledge, and that's all we need. Jesus said, no, you need the experience. See, you can read about salvation, you can study salvation, you can know all the Greek words about salvation and not be saved. You can read about healing, you can be in healing lines, you can teach seminars on healing and never know God's healing for yourself. You can do seminars and never know God. In seminary, we're supposed to read a book by Moltmann, called The Theology of God. I read the first two pages. That was about a paragraph. First sentence was a whole page. And I said, I'm not going through this. I said, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about because he can't say it. And I studied him, and I looked up his biography. Well, he had no offense to the Lutherans, but he happened to be a Lutheran. He denies the deity of Christ, denies the virgin birth, denies the miracles of Jesus, denied that he even existed as a man. You know, and the Lutheran Church finally excommunicated him, but at that time they were still thinking about it, whether he should be excommunicated. This and in class, we're talking about the book, and the professor asked a question, and I sat up in the front row, and everybody else is answering the question. And finally, the professor looked at me, and he says, Gordon, what do you think? I thought, I really don't want to answer this question. And I tell people, if you don't want to know, don't ask. Because I'll be nice, and I'll be polite, and I'll be diplomatic, but if you ask me a direct question, you will get a direct answer. So if you don't want a direct answer, don't ask me the question. I told the professor, I said, I don't think he's a Christian. The whole class erupted. I'm in the whole class just, how can he? And this is their response. He wrote a book about God. He has to be a Christian. You know, it's even published by a Christian book distributor. I mean, that guarantees it, doesn't it? He has to be a Christian. And the professor let it all die down, and I thought, I am in deep doo-doo here. I am in deep trouble. I'm the only one in class that, and the professor says, Gordon's probably right. And all the class goes, huh? Now, that doesn't mean I was wrong that much, but. But some of this stuff is common sense. If you just think about it a little bit, the man didn't know what he was talking about. He used the word eschatological a lot. You know what eschatological means? Anybody want to dare an answer? It means anything you want it to mean. Serious. Eschatology, when they talk about the study of the end times, literally means the study of the end times. Now, when you are dying, it's an eschatological moment. If you're talking about that you're writing a book and you're coming to the conclusion of the book, it's an eschatological moment. If your dog is leaving your house because you're going on vacation and somebody else is taking it, it's an eschatological moment. I'm being serious. And kids in my seminary class, when they went out to preach, they came back and said, the churches don't understand what I'm talking about. I told them the Bible is a myth, and they got upset with me. Yeah. But in seminary, we were taught a myth is simply a story. Well, a myth is a story, but it's also a story that's made up. You know? It's like years ago, I was the was it Revised Standard or the New English Version? But one of the New Bible translations came out and said, the word for virgin doesn't mean virgin of not having sex. It means virgin as being a young girl. Well, they were right, because there's several different words used for virgin. But when it talks about Mary being the virgin mother of Jesus, it means a young girl who has never had sex. Duh. So they were technically right, but they were wrong in their interpretation of it, because they didn't go far enough. See, all you have to do is read about it. Mary was with child by God. That's what the Bible tells us. End of debate. That settles it right there. See, you've got to believe the Bible. You've got to come back to the core of our faith. He said, I didn't create my kingdom for you to hear about. I created it for you to live in. In other words, God wants you to experience this fullness of God, this kingdom of God that Jesus died to bring in, that Jesus has given to us. He says, you can live in this. It can be your reality now. Not make-believe, not made up, not sometime in the future. You can begin to live in these things now. And then at the end of the word, God finished up. He says, so come live in my kingdom, seek out my glories, and you shall walk in them. For as you believe, so shall you see. For this is that day, declares the Lord, this is that day of my kingdom come, of my will be done in the earth, even as it is done in heaven. Say, wow, that could be false prophecy right there. Anybody ever know the Lord's Prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth, even as it is done in heaven. Was Jesus in error when he taught his disciples to pray that way? Then this isn't an error, because he said it through a prophet of today. We've got to grasp these things. This kingdom of God is not when you get to heaven. It's in the earth. Of course, God's will be done in heaven. We all know that. But God wants his kingdom's will to be done now in this life. And he wants it done through you. Yes, amen. And he's given you the power of the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, to teach you, and to lead you into all things, so that you would know the depth and the height and the length and the breadth of the love of God, that you would be filled with the fullness of God. Whew. This is the gospel. This is the kingdom of God. This is delivered out of the things of this world. Let me give you a few verses. Matthew 5, 6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, what's righteous? Righteousness is to be in right standing with God. Righteousness is not our righteous works for God. It is accepting the righteousness that God has done for us through Jesus. 2 Corinthians says, "For he was made to be sin with our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God by his righteousness." Now, if you go to God and say, "Lord, I'm righteous," he'll say, "Why?" And you start, "Well, I went to church all my life. I helped clean the church. Beep. I was a pastor's right-hand man. Beep." The only answer Jesus will accept is, "I'm righteous by what he has done for me. I didn't do anything. I didn't earn it. I couldn't earn it. But righteousness is a free gift. If I hunger and thirst after what Christ has provided for me, I will be filled." What am I going to be filled with? The fullness of God. See, this blows all theology out the window. I'll tell you, they don't teach us. If you want to read a doctrinal book, no, this isn't going to be in there. It's in the Bible. But when the Bible gets beyond what men can grasp, they throw it away because they don't know what to do with it. This is the trouble the Pharisees had with Jesus. "Well, we see you doing all these things, but, you know." Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, God said, he didn't create my kingdom for you to hear about. I created it for you to live in, to walk in this reality with God, where you can hear the deep of God calling to your deep, that I am your answer. I am your source. Jesus said it this way, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." The life is Zoe. "I came that you might have Zoe." What is Zoe life? If you've been with me for long, you know that's one of my favorite words of all time in Scripture. Zoe, it literally means the absolute life as only God can possess, or only God possesses. It doesn't mean you're going to live another 3 years. No, that's natural life. This natural life is going to have an end, but God does not have an end. "I came that you might have life." Zoe life. The life that only God possesses. That separates you from everyone else. That distinguishes you. That puts a mark on us as believers that we are born again, born sons of God. Oh, I'd like to get into that, but I'm already over and I don't have time. Sons of God. No longer sons of Adam. No longer sons of the flesh. Sons of God. God. You know, there's only two people in the scripture two people in one group that are called sons of God. One, the angels. Secondly, Adam is called a son of God, and Jesus is called a son of God. Did you get it? But in the New Testament, it says we are children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. Do you know what that means? If Jesus is called a son of God, and only Adam is the other only other human being called a son of God, and they were perfect, created in a likeness, total image, completeness, fullness of God, and you're a son of God? God has put his mark on you that we can be filled with the fullness of God. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Somebody shout. I'm bouncing on the inside. This is good news, man. This is, woo, I am free of the world. The world has no hold on me anymore. Why? I belong to God. I am his son. Jesus told his disciples, "I call you friends." Why do I call you my friends? Because the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I call you my friends because I tell you what I'm going to do. So you can have the mind of Christ. You can have the things that the Bible talks about. This isn't imagination. This isn't, spiritual. This is reality. Jesus said in John 17:3, I'll just close there. He says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, Zoe, that you would know God and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ, his son. This is what being saved is all about, that you can know God. Isn't that exciting? But he's beyond what I can imagine. Isn't it wonderful? He's beyond what I can think. Isn't it grand? Isn't it marvelous that we serve a God bigger than you? Isn't that great? Because the world worships themselves. They come up with a new thing. Ooh, look what we've created. Oh, you haven't begun yet. You haven't even started to think about what God can do. And he's made himself available to us through the new birth to call us up to his level that we could walk and know him. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? This is a gospel. This is a good news. Stand up. Woo. I tell you, this is good stuff. When you read the Word of God, you read the Bible, you need to find out what it is saying to you. Put your name in it. We got my mom several years before she passed away. We got my mom one of these personalized Bible. Have you ever heard about that? And all through the Bible, it had her name. You know, Mava. I call unto you, Mava, to follow after me. I call unto you, Mava, to sit beside me in my throne in heaven. I mean, it put her name in there. When you read it, you need to put your name in there. This is about you and your relationship with God. And I tell you, if you don't know God, you can start today. You can enter into that kingdom now. And you can begin your growth and begin your experience to know a living God that still touches lives today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, you say, I don't understand what you're talking about, but I want some of this stuff if it's real. I want to ask Jesus into my life. Would you just lift up your hand? Just say, I want him. I want to come to know this Jesus that you're talking about because he is a mighty, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we come before you this morning. Father, we thank you for that wonderful, precious gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that you took all of our sin away from us that we might be called the righteousness of God through what Christ has done on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus was made to be sin with our sin, that he took on all of our sickness, all of our disease. He took on every curse upon himself, and we are free of them. So, Father, we choose to walk in the light, in the glory of your will for us, that you would be manifested in every area of our life. For this, Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor, God, because it's all through you. And we praise you and worship you for who you are, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.